Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, April the 20th. And we'll talk about that issue that you just heard about in state news. Last week, the Madison Metropolitan School Board unanimously voted to name a new elementary school after a Hmong leader, General Vang Pao. General Pao led the U.S.-backed Hmong forces in Laos during the Vietnam War. But after the decision, which was celebrated in the Hmong community, questions were raised about the appropriateness of naming a school after Pao, who, some say, including that University of Wisconsin history professor, was involved in war crimes and drug trafficking. This week, a school board member, in an email to other school board members, suggested that the board revisit the naming decision and perhaps investigate these charges against Pao, but no one on the board supported the idea. We'll talk about the debate going on and wonder what you think of this. Is this a fitting tribute to the Hmong people who now live in Madison or anywhere for that matter? Acknowledging their sacrifices as allies to the U.S. during the Vietnam War? Does it, as our first guest will suggest this hour, give Hmong students and their families a sense of belonging? Or is it inappropriate to name a school after a military leader that some say has a dark past, as our second guest in our second half hour will suggest? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are joined first by Shuo Vang, a school board member with the Madison Metropolitan School Board, actually a retiring member, will be leaving the board on Monday. Mr. Vang joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
You, too, are considered to be the first, or one of the first anyway, Hmong to have been elected to a public office in the United States. Isn't that right?
I'm one of the handfuls. There have been others before me, and there was actually a Hmong man who was elected to the La Crosse School Board in the mid-80s.
Yeah. Now, you didn't propose naming the school after General Pao, but you were a strong supporter of the choice?
That's correct.
Yeah. Why?
I supported the name of the school because throughout the process by which people nominated the names to be considered, the group that came out in numbers to support the nominations were people who supported General Vang Pao Elementary School. And also as a Hmong American myself and with children in the going to the district, I saw it as an honor to honor the man who represents the Hmong, Hmong people.
Give us a sense as to why the Hmong people revere General Pao so much.
Well, one has to have a good understanding of Hmong history. And I don't know if Professor Lee is on the line right now.
He will be talking with him after the weather break.
You have to understand that for centuries, Hmong people living in Laos was oppressed, face social and racial injustice, unfair government policies, oftentimes forced labor. Take, for example, I was speaking with an elder yesterday who said in Laos, when he would go to other ethnic villages, he would face verbal abuse, physical attacks. And this was very common for a lot of Hmong people. And when Vang Pao rise to lead the Hmong people, most of these ceased because he was able to command both respect of the Hmong people and also of other ethnicities, and particularly the lowland Laotians.
Tell us how the Hmong community in Madison is reacting to the choice, the decision to name the school after General Pao.
Well, they are overjoyed and honored and they also see this as a recognition of who they are as a people who have sacrificed both lives and blood and sweat and tears and to help the American cause in Southeast Asia. And for so long, they have been marginalized and also painted by negative presses about certain Hmong incidents in Wisconsin and throughout the states. So this was an opportunity for them to rejoice and to be happy that finally they are, as a people, are recognized.
We're talking about a controversial decision to name a Madison school after a Hmong leader and general, Vang Pao, who some say has a shadowy past and should not be honored with this tribute. Our guest, a Madison school board member and outgoing Madison school board member, Shua Vang, disagrees. We will also hear from a Hmong studies professor who disputes the charges against General Pao after this weather break, and we will welcome your thoughts and questions about this. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock. It's at issue with Ben Marins this afternoon between 4 and 6. Your views on the news. Ben Marins will talk with a guest analyst about some of the top stories of the week during Your Views on the News after 4. We will review the news of the week as well after 8 o'clock this morning. Right now, we're talking about a story that's making news in Madison. Actually, I noticed that it's getting some national attention as well. The Madison School Board last week voted unanimously to name a new Madison Elementary School in honor of a Hmong leader, General Vang Pao. But there are some who say that this is inappropriate, some who charge that General Vang Pao was involved in drug trafficking and other war crimes and shouldn't be honored with this school. We are talking with one of the school board members who supported this decision, Shua Vang, and we will also be joined by Gary Yia Lee, a visiting professor of Hmong Studies at Concordia University in St. Paul. And before I do that, though, Shua Vang, we have a caller, and I just want to bring Adam and Madison on the air. Hi, Matt.
Okay.
Hi, Adam. You're on the air.
Hey, Joey Cardine. Mm-hmm. I love your show, and thanks for taking me on.
Yes, so what do you have to say about this?
Well, I think we have America has a very aggressive hegemony, you know, vicious culture. We wiped out the natives. We've honored many military people from lots of different walks of life, from lots of cultures in this culture in the same kind of way. Pulaski Highway, I mean, you can make a list, you know. And look at the Capitol. There's a soldier in front of that. We're known for our aggressive, bringing someone into this culture. That's how we do that. A grammar school, you know, where little kids run around. That's a perfectly good place to talk about war and to talk about military heroes. I think that's the culture we live in. We live in a very mean, vicious culture. I mean, we also have some great people who've done other things, and we have a high school named after Malcolm X. So we have, you know, we have dissidents too. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could have picked better. I think, you know, there's probably some Hmong people there that would have been a better choice, but. But it is American. It is American to pick somebody who is, who has this kind of history.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Adam. Actually, I wanted to also bring that up because there are some who say other Hmong leaders could be honored by naming the school after them, including, I read in the Capital Times, Shua Vang, that perhaps the school should have been named after you. And I that's why I wanted your reaction to that.
I am flattered, but by no means have I contributed to the Hmong people and also to set them free like Vang Pao. So I am flattered, but at the same time that I think that the recommendation really shows that there is a lack of understanding and a knowledge about this honorable man and about the Hmong society as a whole.
Yeah. Well, this would be a good time to bring in our next guest, suggested, by the way, by Shua Vang to talk with us about General Vang Pao. He is Gary Yia Lee, a visiting professor of Hmong Studies at Concordia University in St. Paul. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Now, we want to talk to you about these allegations that were noted in a book by UW-Madison history professor Alfred McCoy. The book was The Politics of Heroin in Southeast Asia, published in 1972. This book detailed the CIA's involvement in the drug trade, the Laotian drug trade, and Professor McCoy, says that General Pao was involved in this. He was involved in the trafficking, and he has been critical of the Madison School Board for honoring him by naming a school after him. Tell us, Professor Lee, whether or not General Vang was involved in drug trafficking.
Well, firstly, let me say this, that McCoy only spent 2 weeks in Laos to research this particular issue, and he only talked to the enemy of the general. So he got all kinds of very negative information from them. He never talked to the general himself. And also, he never talked to those who know the general, who work closely with the general. So this is one way in which he got his information. And his information is obviously very much that would fit into his conclusion. I think that McCoy go into researching the book with a lot of conclusion foregone. And for that reason, he didn't bother to really try to get to the truth. But to answer your question, I don't think that the general would have any logical reason or any practical reason at all to be dealing in drug trafficking, because he has no time and he has no reason to do it. He has a lot of work, a lot of military work to do. He has a lot of men to command, to look after. And also, the CIA was giving him so much money. Why would he need to deal in drugs?
Yeah. What about the allegations that General Pao was involved in war crimes, ordering summary executions?
Yes, that might have happened, but it does happen in every war. And in a war situation, the commander, the leader, the military leader, has to make tough decisions. And if you read history carefully, you find that many, many military leaders have done this, not just Vang Pao. In an emergency situation, you have to do some of the things that people might not like, but sometimes you have to do it. The thing also about the summary execution is that it is part of the system of which McCoy belong to. I'm saying that because the general had his training under the French colonial authorities, and he did a lot of these things or some of these things. I don't think that he did kill a lot of people, but maybe he did order some executions. But he did all this under the same system, under the same rules, under the same laws of war.
Can you give us a sense, describe General Pao's importance in the Hmong community?
Yeah. General Pao is very important to the Hmong because he's regarded as the supreme leader of the Hmong in the diaspora, the Hmong refugees in Western countries, and even the Hmong back in the old homeland of Laos. He is regarded as the most charismatic, the one that has done the most for the Hmong people. McCoy just doesn't appreciate this and doesn't try to do any research on his positive contributions to Hmong society and to society at large. He focused completely on the negative, and I think this is a major flaw in a scholar. A scholar should be both positive and negative, should also provide, you know, both positive and negative information to the public for them to make their own decision, and not just influence public opinion with negative statements, some many of which cannot be supported or are not even supported by the evidence.
What are the positive things that General Pao did for the Hmong?
Well, the positive things, for example, is that he acts like the anchor that holds the Hmong together as a community in America and in other countries. He visits them. He is concerned about their welfare and their settlement. He is concerned about their success. You're concerned about them being able to contribute to their new countries, the countries that have accepted them for resettlement. He visits them, he gives them advice, he helps people with their individual problems. Many, many Hmong contact him, ring him for advice. And he also attends functions, be there when people need him. He is always on the move, always helping people. Yeah. Which is not what McCoy is doing for the Hmong. And the Hmong really respect him for his charisma, for his concern, and for all the hard work that he has been doing for them.
So his efforts, he was largely responsible for the Hmong resettling in the United States?
Yeah, he has set up a lot of organizations. You will find many of his organization called the Lao Family Community. You find this organization in nearly every major city where you can find Hmong. Mm-hmm. And the idea is for him to have a major role in helping the Hmong to resettle in this country successfully. This organization's sole purpose is to help Hmong with their resettlement here in America.
Well, Professor Lee, I really appreciate your time. I know you are joining us feeling a bit under the weather. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, Gary Yia Lee, visiting professor of Hmong studies at Concordia University in St. Paul. And Shua Vang, thank you for suggesting Professor Lee to talk with us. Before I let you go, what is your reaction to Carol Karstinen's suggestion that perhaps the school board should revisit this decision, at least investigate these allegations?
Well, I'd like to respond, and I think that Carol is, as a board member, she has a right to do that, but as the longest serving board member of any of us currently on the board, you know, Madison itself has named schools after controversial figures. Take, for example, Thomas Jefferson, who himself was a slave owner, and is it appropriate, you know, to question others while at the same time not looking at the whole issues? Take, for example, Samuel Gumper, who is a union leader, but whose policy for a long time was anti-racist, particularly towards the Chinese Americans on the
We get your
West
point.
Coast.
We get your point. We have a news break coming up. Thank you so very much for being with us. Shua Vang, a school board member in Madison. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you with us on this Friday, April the 20th. It's 6:36. We'll continue in this half hour, getting a different perspective on the decision by the Madison School Board to name a new elementary school for a Hmong general, Vang Pao. We heard from a school board member who supported the decision, advocated for the decision, Shua Vang, in our last half hour, along with a professor of Hmong studies who he suggested we also talk to talk about why Vang Pao was a hero to the Hmong people and was an appropriate choice for naming the school after him. and to refute the allegations against Vang Pao. Now we welcome in Alfred McCoy. He is the Schmale Professor of Southeast Asian History at UW-Madison. He is the author of a dozen books, including The Politics of Heroin and A Question of Torture. You can talk with Professor McCoy or express your thoughts on this controversial decision by calling 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. And Professor McCoy joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, let's start with this Professor Lee that we talked to said that there is no reason to believe and no evidence to support that General Pao was involved in the drug trade in any way. You found out differently?
Yes, in 1971, I went into Hmong villages in northern Laos. I interviewed farmers who were opium growers about their harvest, and they described how they took their opium at the end of every harvest down to the local helicopter landing pad. An Air America helicopter flew in. Soldiers, officers in Vang Pao's army, his trusted officers, came in, paid cash for the opium, loaded it on the CIA helicopters, and flew it off to General Vang Pao's base at Long Chang. Let me explain. In Laos, in northern Laos, during the early 1970s, the Hmong economy was based essentially on two crops. They grew rice for subsistence and opium for cash. And most of the Lao political leaders of that day were involved in the drug traffic. It was one of the country's major exports. And General Vang Pao, as the leader of the Hmong, controlled the traffic, and it actually amplified his power, his control over the Hmong, and allowed him to actually recruit troops. The control of rice into the villages and opium mm-hmm. out of the villages increased Vang Pao's power. And many members of the Laotian military, of which General Vang Pao was a member, were involved in the traffic. For example, General Uyên, the commander-in-chief of the Royal Lao Army, operated the world's largest heroin laboratory, transforming that opium and other opium into heroin. That heroin was shipped down to South Vietnam, where it was used by American forces. By 1971, about 34% of all U.S. troops serving in South Vietnam, according to a White House survey, were addicted to heroin.
Yeah. And while I certainly don't want to get into a credentials debate necessarily, this Professor Lee was critical that you only spent, he says, 2 weeks in the region, and you just focused on the negative and didn't have anything good to say about all the good that he says General Pao was involved in.
Well, first of all, I spent sufficient time in the region to gather the data I needed to make the statements that I made. You can fault any scholar for endless sins of omission. You looked at this, and you didn't look at that. Okay. The question is, what did I look at? What information do I have? What kind of conclusions did I reach from that information? Let me explain. When my book was heading into press, the director of CIA covered operations visited my publisher, tried to suppress the book, and as a compromise, my manuscript, before it was published, was delivered to the CIA. They had it for 10 days. They reviewed my manuscript. Then they sent their objections back to the publisher. The lawyers from my publisher sat down with my notes and my manuscript and went over my manuscript word for word, examining the CIA's objection and my field notes. And the legal staff at HarperCollins Publishers determined that there were no changes needed. In short, in a curious and ironic sense, my findings were vetted and affirmed by the CIA.
Yeah. The charges of war crimes and summary executions was not disputed by our last guest in that he said that happened in any war.
Well, yes, there are always war crimes mm-hmm. in war. There's no doubt about that. But for the past 50 years, from World War II, German and Japanese officers, right now for the more recent Bosnian conflict, the international community regards the summary execution of prisoners as a war crime, whether it's done in conditions of guerrilla warfare or conventional warfare. And there's an international tribunal at The Hague, which is right now prosecuting senior former Serbian commanders in Bosnia for similar war crimes for summary execution of captives at places like Srebrenica. These are serious war crimes. In most places, the perpetrator of those crimes is arrested, tried, and jailed. We don't name schools to honor them. Now, let's be very clear about this. All the sources agree that General Vang Pao, as a matter of practice, ordered the summary execution of captives and of his own soldiers. And there's a little more controversy over this, but that he also ordered the execution of a revered Hmong religious leader who was his political opponent. But everybody agrees on this, that General Vang Pao, as a matter of course, ordered summary executions. Now, this is incredibly brutal. What we're talking about is a gun placed close to the skull of a human being and a shot being fired at point-blank range. This is incredibly brutal, right? And how can the teachers explain this? Because this is written, or you can go down to the Madison Public Library and take off the shelf four books that describe in detail how General Vang Pao practiced these summary executions. Dr. Lee himself said this. Last year there was a seven-month investigative report published by the Minneapolis Star Tribune called The Covert Wars of Vang Pao. And again, he quotes one of Vang Pao's closest CIA collaborators, a man named Bill Lehr, who helped set up the CIA's secret Hmong army. And Bill Lehr said on the record that as a matter of course, General Vang Pao executed captives. All captives were executed, right? Mm-hmm. These are so how can we send our children to a school after a man whom when they grow up and read about General Vang Pao, we'll find by a Google search on the internet, reading newspapers, reading books in their own library, that this same man who they went to, whose school they went to, committed war crimes. What kind of moral lesson is that for our children?
You know, this isn't, I don't remember this, but in some of your writings, I believe, this isn't the first time this has come up. There was a similar controversy when the Parks Department was thinking of naming a park after General Pao?
Yes, that came up in 2002. The Parks Department proposed naming a park after General Vang Pao. The Wisconsin State Journal called me up and asked me about the general's record. I spoke to them, as I spoke to you, about the objections to naming the park after him. For several weeks, I had demonstrations mm-hmm. orchestrated by then-State Senator Gary George and his Hmong legislative aide, busing in Hmong from Minneapolis-St. Paul, La Crosse, Eau Claire. A few months later, mm-hmm. of course, Gary George's name was struck off the ballot because of fraud by his Hmong legislative aide in collecting signatures, and Gary George was soon sent to jail for fraud. Yes, so the Madison Parks Department, unlike the school board, investigated the matter. They referred it to a subcommittee. They deliberated, and they reached a conclusion that the naming of the park after General Vang Pao was inappropriate. I would argue that if naming a park was inappropriate, that naming a school after General Vang Pao is doubly inappropriate. And there's another reason, another aspect of General Vang Pao's leadership we need to discuss. During the CIA secret war in Laos, by about 1971, again, all sources agree on this, the New York Times reported this at the time, that General Vang Pao forced Hmong villages to deliver children for military service, combat service. Some of these children were as young as 10 years old. They were known as carbine soldiers because they were shorter than their rifles. Let me explain how General Vang Pao did this. If you Google this issue in the New York Times, they make these reports in 1971. It just so happened that in 1971, I went into a Hmong district in northern Laos, and when I arrived, the village had been fighting for the CIA for about 10 years. It was a village made up of women, children, and seriously wounded war veterans. The orders had come directly from General Vang Pao to send him a batch of recruits, which were the 14-year-olds in the village. The elders met and said, if we send these young men, these 14-year-olds, these children, who are going to be the men that will marry the the girls of the village and keep us all alive. So they said no. And General Vang Pao cut off their refugee rice shipments. By this time, the village was completely dependent on U.S. refugee rice shipments. And by the time I arrived, they had been denied rice for a month. Hunger was spreading, and they were heading for starvation. And they were faced with the choice, send the children or starve. That's how General Vang Pao got those boy soldiers. Now, I think it's cruelly ironic that the children who will be attending the future Vang Pao Elementary School will be the same age as the children that General Vang Pao press gang forcibly conscripted for military service in an army that was little more by that time than a killing machine.
We're going to check our weather forecast, and then we'll take calls for Professor Alfred McCoy. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 11 minutes before 7 o'clock. And coming up after 7, I'll be welcoming in investigative reporter Greg Pallast. We'll talk about an updated chapter in his last book, Armed Madhouse, talking about the 2008 election and how he says it's already been rigged. We'll find out about that after 7 o'clock. We're talking with Alfred McCoy during this half hour. He is a professor of Southeast Asian history at UW-Madison, author of a dozen books, including The Politics of Heroin, which is a book in which he details the CIA involvement in drug trafficking in Southeast Asia and the involvement of Hmong General Vang Pao as well. And he is reacting to and talking with us about the controversial decision in Madison to name a new elementary school after General Vang Pao. And we invite your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Fang in Sun Prairie is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Song.
I'm sorry, I didn't say it again.
It's Song, like you sing a song.
Song, okay, go ahead.
I think, from my opinion, what the professor wrote sounds more like sound bites than well-researched issues, you know, which shows context from both sides. For example, in the Kaplan issue, a lot of the news media reported that the Vietnamese student who was not offended was a Hmong student, when in actuality he wasn't, and there are two different groups of people. Soundbites really show an accurate picture. It just shows what you want to hear.
Well, let's talk about this specific issue. Do you support the Madison School Board's decision to name the school after General Pao?
I think so. I was born in Laos, in Longcheng, and in all my communications and talking to my parents, no one has ever said anything about a heroin lab. And I think that he has, you know, though I'm not a staunch supporter of the general, I think that he is a figure that everyone looks up to. And I think the majority of the people who support him and who do look up to him do so because they are not just close to him, but that they have high respect for him. And I think that it goes to, it'll feed into us children, too, that we, you know, he is the glue that holds us all together.
He is the glue that holds us all together, Professor McCoy?
I would disagree with that comment. Let's take, for example, Minneapolis-St. Paul, where there's a much larger Hmong community than we have in Madison, and where General Vang Pao lives part-time and is very active. In the past 2 years, there have been three Hmong charter schools established in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. And the community, the Hmong community, had the capacity there to name them after anybody they wished. They didn't have to go through a school board. And they decided not to name the school after General Vang Pao, because he's become such a enormously divisive and controversial figure in the wider U.S. Hmong community. One of those schools, for example, is called the Hmong Academy Charter School, rather than the Vang Pao School. So in Minneapolis-St. Paul, where the large, very successful Hmong American community knows the general very well, he's regarded as a divisive figure, not a figure of unity. And another point I think that needs to be made is that here in Madison, nobody is objecting to the idea of naming a school after the Hmong. Indeed, I'm on the record. I've stated every time the media calls mm-hmm. that I strongly support the idea of naming a school after a Hmong American figure or after a Hmong figure. And there are many Hmong, countless Hmong, worthy of the honor. I mean, for example, if you wish a Hmong war hero, there's the Hmong ace Li Lua, who's revered in the Hmong community as a war hero, and he died fighting in Laos in 1969. If you wish a Hmong educator, a living Hmong educator, there's the first Hmong to earn a PhD, Dr. Yang Dao, who's been a tireless advocate for Hmong education, indeed who published a book now 30 years ago that popularized the very term Hmong, Hmong at the Turning Point, a superb study. And one could go on. There are many Hmong figures worthy of the honor. The issue is not whether or not we should honor the Hmong, whether we should honor their sacrifice during the Vietnam War and their contributions, their many contributions to American society. That's beyond debate. Everybody mm-hmm. agrees with that. The question is this particular Hmong figure, General Vang Pao, a good role model for our children, for all children in the community?
Yeah. Let's go next to Russ in Eau Claire. Hi, Russ. You're on the air.
Hi. The comment I'd like to make is I'm of the age where I had a lot of friends that left school and they ended up going over to Vietnam and they fought in Vietnam. And unfortunately, a few of them didn't make it back. Some of them that did make it back ended up being addicted to heroin. And if Mr. Vang Chao, if he had anything to do with any kind of drug trafficking over there, and any of the drugs that he trafficked got to my friends that ended up being addicts when they came back here, I think it's a very poor choice. I think there's got to be, like the gentleman just said, there's got to be some other person, some other Hmong person that would be a better choice for the Madison School Board to pick for the name of the school. Yeah. And that's the only comment I have. Thank you very much, Joe. I love your show.
Thank you, Russ, very much for calling. So do you think some of Russ's friends were hooked on heroin due to General Powell, Professor McCoy?
Well, there's no question that the Hmong were in Laos, were major producers of opium, and General Vang Pao, through his control of the aircraft in and out of the village and his officers, facilitated the movement of that opium from the villages into the international market, into the heroin labs in Laos, which were then producing just exclusively for U.S. Soldiers serving in South Vietnam. It should be stated here, of course, that, look, this was a traditional crop for the Hmong. By the time we got involved in Indochina, in Vietnam and Laos, the Hmong had been growing opium for more than a century. And they were not doing it for profit. They were doing it to survive. Okay, and it was also, until the early 1970s, it was not illegal for the Hmong to grow opium inside Laos. Of course, when it was transformed into heroin and entered the international heroin traffic, it then did become illegal. So it's one should place this in context. This was a traditional Hmong crop. It was their cash crop. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. in 1970 and 71, traffickers opened heroin labs in the Golden Triangle region, including Laos, and that heroin was directed entirely at U.S. forces serving in South Vietnam. Yes, it happened, but let's keep it in perspective. Mm-hmm. This was a traditional Hmong crop. They did not grow it for profit. They grew it for survival. And most of the farmers had no idea. The farmers I spoke to had very little idea that what happened to the drugs once they reached the CIA base at Long Chang, what happened beyond there. They were just growing their crop.
Nate in Eau Claire. Hi, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling in favor of naming the school for Van Powell, primarily because he is a unifying figure. There's not another single Hmong person, I think, that stands out. I think the complaints against him could be mainly considered complaints against U.S. policy. At the time, we more or less made him the most powerful man in Laos during the time that we were funding the secret war. And for better or worse, he is the most prominent Hmong figure in the last 50, if not hundreds of years. I'll take the answer off the air, comments up there.
And I'm afraid we just have a little more than a minute, Professor McCoy.
Well, unfortunately, there have been serious press reports, including an investigative report in 2005 by the Minneapolis Star Tribune, that indicates that General Vang Pao is becoming a very controversial figure in the Hmong community for the things he's done here. his organization, Neil Hum, has collected money from the Hmong, and it's been found guilty of financial fraud. And there's rising anger in the Hmong community, questions about what happened to these millions of dollars. Indeed, in 1990, General Vang Pao's son-in-law was convicted of fraud in California. In 2005, the Minnesota Attorney General forced Vang Pao's son to return money that had been frauded from the Neo Hum, from one of these Hmong organizations. As the Hmong community becomes aware of this systematic fraud by organizations affiliated with General Vang Pao, there's growing opposition to him, which is why the Hmong in Minneapolis-St. Paul have not named their charter schools after General Vang Pao.
No, we'll leave it there. Thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Alfred McCoy, the Schmale Professor of Southeast Asian History at UW-Madison, author of a dozen books, including The Politics of Heroin and A Question of Torture. Professor McCoy questioning the wisdom of the Madison School Board when it decided to name a new Madison Elementary School in honor of a Hmong General Vang Pao, saying this is not a good choice given the dark past of General Pao. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing the hour and to Karen Prager for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.